I appreciate that group and that song. Thank you to the Petersons, who are doing a great job with the Home Builders class. And what a great, great special that was. Standing on the solid rock. Amen. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're standing on that rock.
Amen.
Amen. I think of that verse in Psalm 61 that came to my mind. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. We have that rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't seem so excited. A little on the quiet side. I know I give you a hard time about that, but I know, I'm more on the quiet side. I was telling somebody recently, it might have been Aiden, we were having conversation here as we're just trying to spend a little bit more time together about the things that are coming up. And I told him things that I've told you before, that way back as a teenager, even into my early adult years, I was just very, very shy. And just very, very, just hard to come out of my shell. And I just prayed and asked the Lord to help me, because I knew that after I got saved and then I went to Bible college, and I knew that working alongside my pastor, Lord, help me, I need to come out. I got to help me with that. The Lord certainly helped me with that. But I still have a nature that, you know, I'm still on that side. It's still there in the old nature. But so I can understand that, maybe being a little bit muffled or muted in our response. But it's good. It's good to praise the Lord. It's good to say, amen, praise the Lord. Because he's good. All right, so I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and I got a message here in regard to what today is, of course, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again. And with Father's Day, we're taking a look here at Solomon. You know, God gave Solomon to write the book of Proverbs, and Solomon's, his story is really unique. You know, he reigned for 40 years. He was the son of David. A couple of years ago, at the end of 2021, I went through the book of Ecclesiastes. Not an easy book to go through, by the way. It's a hard book to outline, but they're so fascinating. And I don't know if you remember that. Again, you might not even have been here 3 years ago. But Solomon, you know, he had quite the ride. I mean, he started off really well, a young man, David's son. And he looked unto the Lord for wisdom, and that first half, and maybe even just a little past that, he seemed to do well, and then he really floundered. But God used him. God had him write the book of Proverbs. And in this particular chapter, it just sets up as a father, because that is how the book of Proverbs is laid out. Solomon is speaking to his children. But as Solomon is speaking to his children, God, and if you know Christ as your Savior, God is your father. And he speaks to us as children, amen. Right? We're never called the adults of God, are we, in the Bible? No, we're called the children of God. I don't care how old you are. The oldest one in here, and we won't point you out. Okay, we wouldn't do that. The oldest one, you're still a child of God. And I'm getting on in years, all right? But I'm a child of God, and I like that. I like that God is my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Spirit of God lives inside of me. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in me. He's my comforter and my strength. Yep. Folks, I'm still just a child, and I want to be a child in so many ways that I just submit myself to the Lord. But that's what we have here, is we have Solomon, and he is speaking to his children. Okay, normally he says, my son, over and over, my son. And here he says, hear ye children. So what it is, it's just a time to assemble, a time to gather around. And that really is my first point that I'll bring out, is time to gather around. And to me, this fits right into a Father's Day. And my message is about on being a great dad, on being a great dad. We want to be great dads. Yep. Amen. Now, let me just say this. You might be out there and, you know, you're on the female side, and you're saying, oh, well, this is Dad's Day. This is a Father's Day. I don't need to listen. No, there's great application for every one of us. And you might say, well, okay, I am a guy. I'm male, but I'm not a dad, so this doesn't. No, 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 there's great application for every one of us. So nobody has any excuse to check out, all right? So I'm watching. Man, you guys are being monitored, okay? And I'll be checking all the film, all the video later. All right, see who was paying attention and who wasn't. I'm just giving you a hard time. All right. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, we'll take a look at these first four verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. But this first point I just call gather round. That's what Solomon seems to be saying right here. At least that's how I take it. Verses 1 through 4 of Proverbs. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. The very direct words that he said, I got from my father, and his father, of course, was David the king. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this message on being a great dad, being a good dad, a great dad. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together in church. What a blessing it is. We've assembled together, and we thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings that you pour in upon us, that you pour upon us daily. Your word says that daily you loadeth us with benefits. And Lord, if we're mindful of it, we will see them. Sometimes we get sidetracked, and sometimes we get so preoccupied, we don't always see the blessings that come into our life. But help us not to do that, Lord. Help us to be mindful of all that you do in our lives. And Lord, one of the great blessings is to come together on a Sunday and to worship together, to have fellowship one with another. So we thank you for this opportunity to do this. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have given us salvation. I thank you that you sent your son. The Bible says you sent your son to die on a cross for our sins. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and willingly went to a cross. You never committed one sin, but you took our sins upon you when you went onto that cross. And you died and you were buried and you rose again. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're my Savior. And I'm not worthy of that. I don't deserve it, Lord. But we thank you for all of us that are saved. None of us deserve it, but you died in our place. And I thank you. And I do pray, Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, we want them to be saved. We want them to trust you and know you as their personal Savior. So we thank you that today we can celebrate Father's Day. We pray that you'd bless this reading of the Word. I pray you'd help me. I don't want to get in your way. And I pray, Father, that you would anoint me with your Spirit, that the Spirit of God could do his work in our hearts. That if there's somebody here without Christ, they may come to know him. I pray about all of the needs that are represented in this room today, in this auditorium, that you'd touch hearts and do what only you can do. And I pray you'll use your word. And I want more than anything that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. So I pray you'll put me behind the cross. And Lord, I pray for an anointing today. And I thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Solomon is here as we read these first four verses, and he's making a plea to his children about, you know, gather around, come and hear the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. He says, I'm about to give you some good stuff. How many of you like good stuff? Good stuff. As long as it's good stuff. There's some bad stuff out there. We don't want that bad stuff, all right? We want the good stuff. And Solomon's saying, I'm going to give you some good stuff. I'm going to give you some good advice. Some good advice that if you'll get a hold of it, they're good. These are good words. He talks about doctrine. That just means teaching. There's good teaching. There's good doctrine here. I hear God saying that to us. As I said, Solomon's saying it to his children. God is speaking to us. He's saying, listen, it's good for us to gather around. It's important. It's good to go to churches as often as you can. It's good stuff. It will help you. Amen? It really will. And you know, you say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say that. But you know what? Way back when I got saved, I was raised in a Catholic home. I have a great mom and dad. They're both in heaven because they both trusted Christ as their Savior. And I'm so excited about that. I'll get to see my dad and my mom down the road. And I miss not being able to call my dad today and say, Dad, hey, man, we had great conversations. And they were down in California, and I've been up in Idaho for 34 years. And, Dad, how you doing? Happy Father's Day. I can just remember some of those conversations or calling my mom. It was great. But getting back to when we were raised Catholic, I was a lost kid. I didn't know the Lord until I was 19. I came to trust Christ. And then it was shortly after that that God directed me to a church called Charity Baptist Church, Pastor David Woods. And I remember going, and you know all that story, how I got saved and all that. So I won't go over all of that, but I just remember how that was like putting a steak in front of a hungry dog. I mean, it was just like, well, this is great. I love this. It just caught fire. And I wanted to come. You mean, so there's a Sunday night service? And I just started to just jump right in. And I wanted to be at every service. I don't think it was a Wednesday night service there. Was it Thursday night, wasn't it? Did we go Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday night until we eventually moved into a building and that got changed. But right at that get-go, it was Thursday night. And Thursday night, okay. And so I'd be there Thursday night. And then what, this visitation, what's that? I didn't know anything about church. I'd hardly gone growing up. And going to church, and it was all new to me. And then there was this visitation. What's that? Well, we go out, and whoever wants to come, we'll go knock on doors and invite people to church and tell them about the Lord. Wow, I want to be a part of that. It was a little intimidating. Like I said, I was a shy kid, but I thought, I want to be a part of that. And you know what? I just jumped in all the way. I mean, that's what was in my heart to do. You know, I would just say this to you. I understand this. Some of you have schedules, and it's difficult for you to come to every service. I understand that, and I'm not certainly going to be up here, you know, bullwhipping you. No, not at all. But, boy, if you could come, what a blessing it is to be around God's people. If you can come back on Sunday night, there's blessings there. If you can come back on Wednesday night, there's blessings there. If you can get involved, I think it's a good thing. And I think it's important to just, boy, just run with it. It is just such a great blessing. It says here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Yeah, the day that the Lord's going to come back. He's not real far away. I don't know when it's going to happen. But as you see the day approaching, especially, and really all through history, this was clear. But now we see, boy, I think the Lord's coming back soon. And it's just good for us to just gather together. Make it a priority. I think it's important. Solomon then says, for I was my father's son. I was a child once. But these are the things that will help you grow up. He says they will help you to grow and to mature and to develop. And we all want that. We want that for our children. We want to see our own lives. We want to see development. You don't want to see something become stunted in their growth. That's not a good thing. That might happen with certain things in our life, with maybe our business. It's just not going forward. You can kind of live with that, but that's even a heartbreak sometimes and discouraging and frustrating. But you certainly don't want to see that with your children. You don't want to see them stop growing. You certainly wouldn't want to see that happen with them growing physically, but you don't want to see them stop growing in other ways, emotionally and intellectually. That's just a sad thing. So God wants us to grow. Amen? Amen? Certainly he does. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So that was Paul writing to the Ephesian church that, listen, you know, you don't want to be like children that are tossed all about, carried about with every wind of doctrine. You want to get solid in the things of the Lord. And that happens when you have a personal walk with the Lord, when you're in this Bible daily, while you're at home, while you have devotions, but while you gather together with God's people as well. So David encouraged, he said, David, my dad, encouraged me to keep his commandments. And Solomon says, I sought to do that, as we had read there in those first four verses. And that is how it certainly played out. Again, I mentioned earlier, Solomon started off well. He ruled and reigned for 40 years. And the first half of that, as he built the temple, 7 years and then 13 years on his own home, it seemed as if he stayed intact with the Lord. But it was not long after that that he went down a slippery slope. And his undoing was not looking and asking for wisdom, because he certainly did do that. His undoing was a lot of strange women. Okay, I'll just say this. If you have 700 wives and 300 concubines, I'm foreseeing that there could be that could be problematic. Right? That's not a knock on ladies. I mean, if a wife had 700 husbands and seven whatever the concubine version of a husband would be, that wouldn't be good. Okay, so I got to make sure I clarify myself, right? It just wouldn't be good. 700 wives, 300 concubines. First of all, it would be like, how do you remember all of those anniversaries and birthdays? How are you going to do that? It's just problematic. So He just had some problems and he just went down a bad road. And so he said that, that his father encouraged him in these things. So let's make sure, in just bringing this first point, and summarizing it, let's just make sure to gather around. I want to encourage you, when you can, gather around, be around God's people. When you can get here on a Wednesday or a Sunday night, and when some of you have cleared out your schedule and going, I want to make sure to get there and hear the word of God and be around God's people, it makes a difference. I say that by personal experience from what I just told you when I first started to go to church. Listen, it's a blessing also to others when we get in on it. It's just blessing when you're here. And you go, oh, you're here. Nice to see you. What a blessing. And you have that time of fellowship. It's just a blessing to get together. Then, as a good dad who only wants what's best for his kids, then he says very emphatically in these next couple verses that we're going to read, he says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. All right? He says, gather around. And then he says, let me just shoot straight from the hip right now. The first thing is get wisdom. Take a look at verses 5 and 6. He says this. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Okay, don't stray from the things that I'm telling you. Forsake her not. Don't forsake wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So he says to them, to his children, and God says to every one of us, get it, all right? Get wisdom. Get it at all cost. Just get it. Not illegally. Just get it, though. But be determined. Be persistent. Lord, I need your wisdom. Would you help me? Listen, every one of us has been obsessed about something in this life. We just have had to have it, right? We just had to have it. And we've been determined about it. We could probably come up with a whole bunch of examples of that if we were to just go around the auditorium, but obviously we don't have time to do that. But I think about people that are just tenacious and they're just driven to do something. I think about a fellow by the name of Dyson. What was his first name? James Dyson. James Dyson, back, British fellow, engineer, inventor. Now, if I were to say to you guys, does that ring a bell? You would go, no, absolutely not. But if I were to say to the ladies, does that name Dyson ring a bell? Like, what would that be all about? We're talking about vacuum cleaners, right? I don't know how to, hon, I would love to vacuum for you, but I just can't figure this thing out. I don't know how it works. There's too many gadgets on it, too many levers and buttons to push. Yeah, this guy named James Dyson was tired of his vacuum doing what ladies remember back in the day when those bags would get all filled up and it just wouldn't, the sucking thing wouldn't happen and it just wouldn't do the job. And finally, this guy figured out, like over 5,100 and some prototypes, he figured out how to do a bagless vacuum. You guys are all like, I never knew this. When did that happen? Way back in the early 80s. This guy's like in his 70s now. And this guy became the first billionaire inventor. And today, in his upper 70s, he's like worth $13.5 billion. So like, hey, we need to get out there and invent some things, right, guys? Well, you know what? This was somebody that was just determined that he was going to do something. But do we have that kind of determination to really want God's wisdom? Lord, I don't care about all those things. What I really want, Lord, I want to be determined. I need your wisdom. I need wisdom in this life. Listen, a lot of people know a lot of things in this life, but that's just a lot of head knowledge. We are in a generation and a period of time when knowledge is right there at our fingertips. We just go to Google and we ask and boom, there it is. You know what? Sometimes that makes people think that they just like rule the world, because I got all this information and this knowledge at my hand, but knowledge doesn't necessarily mean wisdom. Having God's wisdom is what we need. We need discernment and prudence, and God will give that to us if that's what we're seeking for. Look what it says in verse 7 here. Verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Boy, can you see his zealousness? You certainly do. You see his zeal here. Listen, folks, what if we could only have one wish? what would you ask for? Okay, this is a good, it's a good litmus test for us. What would you ask for? It reminds me of a joke. Three men are stranded on a deserted island. And when a bottle washes up on shore, and when they open the bottle, you know, a genie appears and offers them three wishes. And the first one wishes to be in Paris. And the genie snaps his fingers, and the man suddenly disappears, and he finds himself right there by the Eiffel Tower. Well, then the second man wishes that he were in New York City. I want to go to New York City. And with the snap of the genie's fingers, he finds himself by the Statue of Liberty. And then the third man who's standing there, he says, he's now alone on the island. He looks around. He says, I'm lonely. I wish my friends were back. Got to be careful what you wish for. Okay? We need to be careful what we wish for. Listen, don't waste your life wishing for things that, for the wrong kind of things. We want the right kind of things. God's wisdom ought to be at the top of the list. That we would walk with the Lord, but Lord, help us, help me, give me wisdom. Listen, there are many intelligent people in this life, but there are a lot of them that don't have wisdom, as I mentioned just a little bit ago. Listen, let's ask the Lord, dads and everyone here, let's ask the Lord for wisdom in our lives. Amen? Then verses 8 all the way through 13, but I'll read one verse at a time. Verse 8, he says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now, this can only come by prayer. We're to look to the Lord and say, Lord, I need wisdom. Would you help me? And seek it, and treasure it, and lift it up. And then verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. It says that it will promote you. Wisdom will promote you. Wisdom will deliver you a crown of glory. That's what it says in that passage there in verse 9. And that's better than anything that Amazon could deliver right to your front door. Yeah, it's better to have that crown of glory that wisdom will give to you if you have God's wisdom. And then verse 10 says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. The years of thy life shall be many, and they'll be full. Talk about being fulfilled. You know, you talk to people, and I remember back in the day, man, you know, hey, what are you looking for? I just want to be fulfilled, man. Hey, dude, I just want to be fulfilled. I'm trying to find myself. And that's when you grab the guy and you point him to yourself, to himself. You just found yourself. Listen, fulfillment only comes in the Lord. Fulfillment only comes when we look and we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know him as Savior. But people talk about being fulfilled. That's a fulfilled life right there. And what verse 10, it talks about, the years of your life shall be many and they will be full. And then verses 11, 13, along these same lines, he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. Straitened means limited or confined. Okay, that's what that word means. Thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Don't let her go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So he says in verses 11 and 12 and 13, so you've heard the truth. You've heard it, as verse 11 says. And verse 12 says, and it will certainly bless you. And then verse 13 says, so get a good hold on it. You know, Paul talked to Timothy, and many times he talked about lay hold on eternal life. You know, he wasn't saying to him, oh boy, hold on to your eternal life, because if you lose it, you're going to be on your way to hell now. No, 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 he's not talking about that. He's saying, get a good grip on the things of eternity, is what he's saying. Lay hold on eternal life. And Solomon is saying this to his children, just get a good hold of the wisdom that God wants to give to you. James chapter 1 and verse 5. I think you know that verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says, I won't upbraid you. I won't chide you. I won't lecture you for asking for wisdom. I want to give it to you. I want to give you wisdom. And then he goes on to say, after getting wisdom, he says, teach them to stay away from evil company. Now, he goes into this next section of this next part of the passage of scripture about be careful who you hang around. We've all done that as parents, right? Sometimes it was our kid that we wanted others to keep from hanging around. There was times maybe when that happened. But you all know that you were mindful of who your kids were hanging around. You wouldn't want them hanging around just any old body. And my parents would tell me sometimes, don't hang around with that kid that lives at the end of the block. He's trouble. It's good for us as kids to listen to parents. And Solomon says the same thing to his children. He's saying, be careful of evil company. He says here in verses 14 through 19, as far as just being a good dad here, and we're talking about that. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Be careful about where you tread, about where you go. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. He says, be careful about where you go. Be careful about who you run with. We have so many examples in the Word of God. I think a great example, and I won't turn there just for time's sake, is I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 13. 13 is that number of rebellion. I think that that's where that's at. It's about one of David's sons by the name of Amnon. And Amnon was, again, one of David's sons. And he was there in the palace or wherever he was, and he had this desire for his half-sister Tamar. And he was thinking, I have this lust for her, and I think it might have just stayed in the thought stage. We got to be careful where we go with our thoughts, folks. But I might have just stayed in the thought stage, but he had a friend by the name of Jonadab. And that friend comes along and he, in conversation, hears what Amnon is thinking and what he's been delving on in his mind. And he says, hey, there's a simple plan for this, Amnon. You can have your sister come and tell your father David that you're not feeling well and you want Tamar to come and, bring you breakfast in bed and I won't go down that road. And anyway, that passage says, but Amnon had a friend. That was not a good friend. That was a friend that drove him down a road that ended up costing him his life a couple of years later when Absalom, said, my brother did this to my sister, and so I'm going to take him out. Well, listen, folks, who we hang around with and who we as parents let our children hang around with can cost them down the road. It costs them down, in the future. Amen? And maybe we've realized, oh, man, what did I do? What was I thinking? Why did I let him hang around that group? Why did I let her do this or that? Well, Solomon's very, very clear about don't go into the paths of the wicked. Don't go onto their paths. It says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, for we as believers love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, we're to be separate as believers. We're not to think ourselves as better. We're not any better. We're just sinners that have been saved by God's grace. We deserve to go to hell. So we're not trying to, oh, wow, I'm holier than thou. We don't want that kind of an attitude, but we still want to do what's right and not get involved with, in other words, living a separate godly life. Not loving the things of this world. That's what the Bible speaks of. But how about us dads? We ask ourselves that question. Does this make application right here? Listen, what about your life? What about my life? If you're hanging around with guys by the name of, Dirty Daryl or Beer Belly Bob or Foul Mouth Freddy, I think maybe we're not hanging around the right crowd. Right? I'm being silly, but listen, if we're not hanging around the right kind of people, then that may just rub off on our kids. Now listen, I don't mean, again, like, oh, wow, we're so ultra separate. We don't have anything to do. No, we want to reach people for Christ. And we want to ask God for wisdom about reaching people and loving people. But we got to know, Lord, help me where that line is. I want to be a friend to that person, but I got to be careful about not associating. You understand that? And that's where the Lord will give us wisdom to know how to do that, because it's just what God tells us to do. And that doesn't mean we shun everybody and we're just so much. No. We have a love for people. We pray for them. We want to reach them, but it shouldn't be our best friends. It shouldn't be a rerun here. It shouldn't be our best friends. Yeah. It shouldn't be. Listen, because what does verse 16 say? For they sleep not, the lost, a wicked person who doesn't know the Lord. They sleep not except they have done mischief. They don't even get good sleep unless they've done something bad. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That's usually in the thinking of somebody who's into trouble, is they, you know, misery loves what? Loves company. They want somebody to be in cahoots with them. And that just might be you. That just might be your son. That might be just your daughter. And that's why it's important to raise your children, to teach them right. Start getting close. That's why it's important for you and I to be close to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, make your best friends those who love the Lord. Listen, none of us are perfect. As I said earlier, we all have, every dog has his fleas, right? And everybody has their own warts. We all have that. Listen, but we want to try to live for the Lord and do what's right. Those are the people to hang around. Those are the people to make your friends. That's why, again, it's important also to get involved. Get involved in serving the Lord. Get involved in a church somewhere where you can serve the Lord. You know the law of physics, and we know it as it applies to the physical world. It also applies to spiritual things as well. And momentum, that term momentum, is a very important thing. When we band together, we create a momentum for the things of God. Yeah, you know that, don't we? Don't you? Don't we? Yeah, we know that. We know that, man, just going to men's prayer meeting on Friday mornings, there's a spiritual momentum that just helps us along and encourages us and takes us closer to the things of the Lord just because we've been there. When you go out and knock on doors with a brother next to you and you talk to people about the Lord and you invite them to church and tell them about how Christ died for them, that's a spiritual momentum that's taking you in the right direction. And when we're around each other and we fellowship with one another and we encourage each other, that's a good spiritual momentum that takes us in the right direction. So let me just wrap up this point by saying, yes, we are to stay away from evil company, from bad influences. Watch out for your children, but watch out also for yourself and the things that you watch and the things that you do. Yet again, like I said, we still want to reach out to them, all right? Reaching out to them. Listen, I don't want to compromise that. I don't want to start a Michelob ministry here at church. Some of you are like, what's that? I'm glad you don't know. You know, I talked to a guy one time, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. He came, I had never seen him before. He brought his kid here for Awana, and I talked to him. I said, hey, man, how you doing? What's your name? And I talked to him, and I go to a church. I don't remember where. It's somewhere not real far from here. And he said, yeah, we have a Bible study. We have a beer and Bible study. A beer and Bible study. What's that about? You can bring just one can of beer, and we have a Bible study. Well, you know, if I was into that, I'd bring, like, the biggest can of beer I possibly could. The biggest ones they make. Yeah, that was serious. I'm like, I was trying not to laugh. You're not joking with me? Beer and Bible? Yeah, beer and Bible study. Okay, we're not going to have any of that anytime soon here, okay? So don't be holding your breath. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let us live this by example and then teach it to our children. Because more than anything you say, your children are going to watch what you do. They're going to watch what you do more than what you say. So we're to separate ourselves. And we're to go tenaciously after wisdom, certainly through prayer. But there is another means that is so vital, and it's in these next few verses, and that is to embrace God's word. We're to embrace God's word. Look at verses 20 through 23 now, and we're getting close to the end of this chapter. It says here in verse 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Take my word and get it into your heart. And then he says, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Take my word, get it into your heart. And son, daughter, I love you, guard your hearts. Make sure that God is guarding your heart. Make sure you're taking his word, read it, memorize it, put it inside your heart. One of the things that I've kind of started to do, but just sometimes for time's sake, I've not been able to get a lot of things done that I'd like to. But I was talking to Aiden. I said, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to have like Bible memory verses for the church. And maybe once a month we'll get it in the bulletin, and it might have four or five verses that you could learn that month if you want. You could learn one if you want. Say, one's just enough. You know, Jesus wept. I got it. I think I got it. Jesus, what was that again? Sometimes it's a struggle for us, right? But it's going to have like five verses, something like that, and you can, you know, learn as many as you want to. And I'm thinking maybe if you learn them, you know, just to kind of keep you, you know, maybe you go to Aiden and say, hey, recite them to Aiden and he'll mark it down. Or I don't know. Well, I'll figure out. But just to encourage you. Isn't that a good thing? I need to be encouraged. I said this to the men 6 months ago, something like that. I said, listen, sometimes I get away from memorizing God's word like I used to. I remembered big portions of scriptures way back when I was younger, and now I don't always think about it, but I want to. And I think that'll be a good way to encourage you, to exhort one another, to learn God's word, to hide it in the midst of our heart. Don't you think that's a good thing? I have talked to so many folks who went to Awana way back in the day when they were younger, because Awana's been around a long time, and they have said this to me over and over. You know, I got saved in an Awana, or this happened in Awana. Great memories. But you know what? One thing is we learn so much of the word of God. All these years later, those verses are still there. And I might start to do something that I shouldn't, and the word of God comes up, and it stops me in my tracks. It's like a shield and a protector. It takes us to the Lord, and it reminds us how much he loves us. But it also gives us, maybe it's reproof and instruction, correction and righteousness. It teaches us what we need to do. And hiding that word in our hearts, and it's so important, folks, that you and I do that. We're to desire it greatly. Embrace God's word. Yet you say, I really don't desire it very much. I mean, I'm reading my Bible. Then you know what I'd say to you if right now you're reading your Bible, because I want to encourage you to read your Bible every day. Maybe start to memorize it like we've talked about. But you're saying, I'm reading it, but I get kind of bored with it. Well, listen, there's been times I've read my Bible and I was bored with it. But I would say this to you, then just read it faithfully out of obligation. But look unto the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm being honest with you, it's just dry to me. Well, you know what? That's not God's bad. It's our bad. But that may be the case. But I would say, just stick it out. I'm going to read God's word. And one of these days, hopefully sooner, but maybe later, because the Lord may test you. So I want to just see how faithful you'll be. And then you'll get the blessing. And then you'll read God's word, and the Spirit of God will minister to your heart. And maybe some tears will come to your eyes, because the Lord will speak to you. And it'll just, boy, it'll be so comforting, something that you need. And the word of God begins to just work your heart over and soften it. And it'll just begin to do some wondrous things. Man, do that. I would say that that's just good advice, to just do that. Listen, we need to do that, folks, because we need it. Now, over time, again, that book will become a joy to you. But here's a test. When you open this book right now, is it like opening up a bottle of milk of magnesia? Or is it like when you open it up, it's like looking at a filet mignon with all the fixings? Oh, man. I will say this. No, there's times when I look at it and I feel like I'm obliged to read the Word of God, but I know many times, though, when I open that book and I just even look at this book and I just look at before I even start reading it, and the Word of God. And it does bring joy to my heart. And I just think, oh, Lord, what are you going to speak to my heart about today? But there are times, folks, when I'm just busy and I just rush through it a little too quickly and I don't let the Lord speak to my heart. But what does it look like to you? Boy, are you just excited about what you're ready to read? It says in Psalm 119 and 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is it sweeter than honey to your mouth? Psalm 112 and verse 1 says this, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. He delights greatly. That man is blessed. Dads, let us embrace the Word of God so our children want to embrace it. Again, they'll see that. They'll see if you love the Word of God, it's going to incline them to want to love the Word of God. Solomon saw David's life. Solomon saw how much David loved the Lord. Solomon saw how much he encouraged Solomon to go for wisdom. He said, just like my father told us to go after wisdom. And isn't that what he prayed for when he first took over the kingdom? As a young man, maybe he was, maybe getting close to 30. He reigned for 40 years. I think he lived to age 70. I know David did. But anyway, as young as he was, he might have actually been in his earlier 20s. But either way, he saw something in David, and it put in his heart to want the same things David wanted. So do people see that in you? Do your kids see that in you? And then finally, let us do as this last passage of this chapter tells us, and that is just simply to live right, to live godly. It says here in verses 24 through 27, put away from thee a froward mouth, a rebellious mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. So when you go back to verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let's be careful about how we use our mouth. Okay, I'll just say this. It seems like more and more just our society as a whole have become a lot more crude and a lot more crass about just language anymore. About saying things that you would just go, well, we'd never say that before. And things that even, I was raised in a lost family and there was, don't go there, don't say that. But it seems like all of that's been loosened and maybe it's affected you and I. And we say some things that our dad would have spanked us for when we were a little kid. So we just got to be careful about our words because people hear our words. It says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And this doesn't mean just necessarily an expletive, but it just says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, that might mean even being at work and people know, oh, that guy's the Christian. Oh, Billy there, he's the Christian. But then out of Billy's mouth, Billy just complains about, oh, that stinking boss. You know what he's got me doing today? Or this or that? And people are going to go, I thought Billy was a Christian. Why is he complaining? I know the Bible says something about we're supposed to be do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, that, you know what, folks? If they hear us complaining or grumbling, listen, that doesn't mean we're to be a bunch of phonies. There's times where I think you need to put a game face on, though. You might not necessarily be, you know, shooting a 10 in your spiritual walk, but you don't want to let it just bottom out in front of everybody. We still should have a game face and then say, Lord, I don't want to be just faking that. I want it to be real. But there's days when we just don't feel it. And we just say, no, Lord, I represent you. The Bible says I'm an ambassador for Christ. People need to see something. The Bible says if we're a Christian, we're a billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Billboards, that's not too outdated, right? Those big signs on the side of the road. Yeah, we are. People see us. And they go, that guy I know is a Christian. Well, man, he is honest and he does his job. And I never hear him complain. That's good. And that's what we should be. And so we should watch our mouths. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. just the right words. Be a blessing to people. But let us speak the things that are honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, that's just a great verse to just keep a focus. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. That means just keep your eyes on the path. Let's just keep our eyes on the prize with a purpose, with a goal. Have your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what athletes always hear. And if they're going to win something, they don't get distracted. They stay focused. And if they get distracted, it's not good for their play. It's not good for what they're doing. We should learn that same thing, that we keep our eyes on the Lord, because there's going to be a lot of chatter going around. There's going to be a lot of things that might try to get you and I off the path in our walk for Christ. We've just got to go, Lord, help me to put that to the side. Help me, Lord, keep my focus on you. Help me to set my affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Amen? That's what we should do. And that's what he's saying as he's speaking to his children. Man, keep your eyes. Stay on the path. Let your eyes look right on, and your eyelids look straight before thee. And then he says, don't let your feet get you heading into a wrong direction in verses 26 and 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. Again, that's just talking about having a firm focus. Don't turn your foot to the left hand or to the right hand, but stay focused. I've told you before, we get ourselves in trouble when we preoccupy ourselves with things where we shouldn't be. You know, when I'm driving up Appleway and I'm getting close to Fourth. And I'm getting close to Fourth. I'm real careful I don't look to my left because there's a Baskin Robbins over there. And that Baskin Robbins is calling out to me. I can hear the pistachio almond and the rocky road saying, Reuben, I haven't seen you in a while. Come on. And if I just start looking over there, you know, it just slowly starts to get, oh, I'm only going to park over in the parking lot and just look at the posters. Those Sundays, oh, they look so good. I'm heading into trouble, folks. You know what? If I just go up to the window and just look, can I just look at your ice cream? I'm not here to buy anything. Sooner or later, I've succumbed to it, and I'm holding a pistachio almond in my truck and just enjoy it. Just like, it's not good. But you know what? That's what happens when we get our focus off on the wrong things. We keep our focus on the things of the Lord. And you know what it is. And you know what it is with you, and I know what it is with me. And we get our eyes off of the things of God, and we can find ourselves in trouble. And that's why Solomon says, keep your eyes focused, and don't let your feet go to the left. Don't let them go to the right. Just stay focused, and God will bless that. And let me just say, let us purpose, dads, to be an example to our kids. And I'll say this as well. Remember I said, that would be for moms. That would be for you if you're here without any children and you're not even a dad yet. But let me just say this. You might be a grandpa. Or maybe you have, maybe you're a great-grandpa. To be an example to your grandkids. Because they're looking at you. Yeah, you might not be in that same role as a dad or a mom. But they're still looking at you. And you still bear an awful lot of influence. I like that verse that Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. The Lord is certainly going to bless it and touch the hearts of many sons and daughters around us if we totally submit and surrender our hearts to do what God's called us to do. So if you're a dad here today, I just want to challenge you from what Solomon said to his kids and what God is saying to us about just be determined, about gather around, make church a good priority. Look for wisdom and ask God to give you wisdom and say, God, please, I need wisdom in this life. I don't need a whole lot of knowledge. It's good to have knowledge of Christ, but I need to have the wisdom that only you can give to me. But also, Lord, help me to stay away from evil company. Help me not to get involved because that's certainly going to affect those around me. And help me to embrace your word, Lord. Help me to embrace your word each and every day and help me to live right in such a way that it's pleasing unto you. And so I put that out to you folks, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now maybe you're here without Christ and you don't know him as your Savior. Then what I would say to you, my counsel to you and my heart's desire for you is that you'd get saved. Because Jesus Christ loved you. He loves you. Not loved you, just past tense. He loves you. But he loved you in the sense that he came to this earth, God became a human being, God the Son, lived a sinless life, and went to a cross on purpose on your behalf. Now, he did that for us, folks. And he died on purpose, intentionally. He took our sins upon him on that cross when he had never committed one sin. But he became accursed, the Bible says, because he took our sins upon him. And then he was buried and rose again. And the Bible says, if you'll come to faith in Christ, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we recognize that, man, I can't save myself, but somebody died in my place, and I need to go put my faith and trust in him. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would persuade you, I would encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. For those of you that know the Lord, maybe God's spoken to you about, and maybe specifically dads, maybe God has spoken to you just in this chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, which I would say, read the Proverbs every day. Okay, there's 31 of them. It lines up perfectly with the month. And if God's spoken to you about just as dads, then just talk to him today. If he's speaking to your heart, come to the altar, talk to him at your seat, but do some business with God if he's spoken to your hearts. I'd ask you at this time to bow your heads, and we're going to go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment. Vicky's coming up to play the piano, and Brother Stan is going to come and lead us in a hymn. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about something. I hope you'll respond. It's always best when we respond to the Lord if he's speaking to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's Father's Day and we can acknowledge our dads that are here. And Lord, I thank you so much for the dad that you gave to me. He was such a blessing. I thank you that he came to know you and trust you as his Savior. Lord, not long before he died. And I just thank you, Lord, that he trusted in you. And I look forward to seeing him one day. But thank you for good dads that you've given to us. Help us to be good fathers. Thank you for the Father that you are to us who know Christ. Lord, I pray for anybody here without Christ, if there are some, that you'd save them, that they'd come to trust Christ as their personal Savior. And then, Lord, help us to do the right things in this life. Help us to honor Christ. Help us to live for you. Help us to hide your word in our heart. Help us to be reading it every day. Help us to be good husbands and good dads. And Lord, help us to, you know, make church a priority. How important it is for us to be together and to encourage one another. So Lord, help us in every way. We thank you once again for this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll stand. We're going to sing a hymn.